Well, good morning, everybody. My wife makes beautiful birthday cards for people. And often I hear the call, "Harold, find me a Bible verse to put on the card." And often I turn to Psalm 37, especially verse 6, which says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Comforting words, challenging words. But what is the context of this verse? How does it fit into Psalm 37? In fact, what is Psalm 37 all about? And understanding this psalm leads to a greater appreciation of this verse. And this psalm, I believe, relates to the issues that we are facing in our world today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can reflect on your word this morning and give us understanding, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. David wrote this psalm, and David had a great concern for his people who were caught up with abuse and ill treatment by evil people. As we read in verse 1, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong," because fretting and being envious can destroy our life. Verse 7 also says, "Do not fret when men succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes." And then in verse 8, "Do not fret, it leads only to evil." What does fret mean? Well, the dictionary says that fret means to be constantly anxious, worried, or angry. And that is not a healthy state to be in. And David knew all about being abused by evil men. We recall him being continually abused by Saul, who wanted to put him to death, and being opposed in his kingship by his sons. How did David react? Well, he waited patiently in the case of Saul. He waited patiently for God's time for him to become king. And we read in 1 Samuel 13:14 that the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him as leader of his people. For most of his life, David delighted in the Lord. And in this psalm, David says in verse 27, "I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread." David knew of God's provision for the righteous, and in his old age he desired for his people not to be fretting about the deeds of evil men, but to trust in God. But what were these evil men doing? Well, in many places in Psalm 37, David informs us and tells us, and I'll just list them. He says, "These evil men carry out wicked schemes. They plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. They draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy and to slay those who are upright. They borrow and do not repay. They lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives." So there's this description there of what the evil people were doing against the righteous. And evil people can't tolerate those who are righteous, who are not following in their evil schemes. And today is no different. And this is why I believe that Psalm 37 speaks to us today. And we think of the evil things that people are doing today in our world, or have done in the past and even done to us, that may cause us to fret and be anxious and to worry. And personally, I think of some people in our world who get paid millions of dollars each year, while others who do the work for a company don't get paid very much. And I think of persecution of Christians around the world. And I think of troubles that we had in Papua New Guinea when we were teaching, when a self-appointed group of students called the other students out to an indefinite boycott of classes and threatened the student body with evil things such as bashing up and so on. Maybe you have your own concerns about the deeds done by evil people today. According to David's words in Psalm 37, what can be done about this? What can be done about the evil in the world? And there are 5 points that I believe that David is mentioning in this psalm. So I guess it's a 5-point sermon. Firstly, a very short point, David says, don't fret. And you think, well, how much do these words help us? Don't fret. Secondly, David says, well, take some comfort in the future of these evil men. What's going to happen to them? They don't have much of a future. And as you read through this psalm, you read these words, like the grass, they will soon wither away. Like green plants, they will soon die away. They will be cut off. In a little while, they will be no more and won't be found. The Lord laughs at them, for he knows their day is coming. Their swords will pierce their hearts, and their bows will be broken. Their power will be broken. They will perish. They will be like the beauty of the fields, and they will vanish like smoke. They will be cut off. Their offspring will be cut off. David testifies, I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil, but he soon passes away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. Not much of a future, is it? And all these things you'll find as you read that whole psalm. And it's interesting that he says, well, they will be like a green tree. They will flourish for a while. But what is their end? And the world might say, well, how successful are these evil people? But their success is only temporary. And thirdly, and in contrast, David says, consider the godly people. These people have little. They give generously. They are always generous and lend freely. Their mouths utter wisdom and speak what is just. The law of the Lord is in their heart. Their feet do not slip. Again, I'm just quoting from Psalm 37. And what does the future hold for these godly people? Well, again, Psalm 37 says, the suffering righteous will be given a lot of hope. Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. The meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In times of famine, they will enjoy plenty. Those who the Lord blesses will inherit the land. The Lord makes the feet of those who trust in him firm. They may stumble, but they will not fall, for the Lord upholds them with his hand. The Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. They won't be left in the power of the wicked. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps and delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. And all of what I've just said is from Psalm 37. So David says, be assured, the righteous do have a future. And shouldn't this encourage people not to fret or be jealous of evil men? Now, the land in Psalm 37 is mentioned 7 times. The land must have a significance. It must be important. And these are the times it's mentioned. It says, dwell in the land, you righteous people. Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. The meek will inherit the land. Those the Lord blesses, the Lord will inherit the land. The righteous will inherit the land. Turn from evil and do good, then you will inherit the land. He will exalt you to inherit the land. The land, the land, the land. And we think of what's going on now in Israel. Who owns the land? And there's conflict even today. The early readers would have understood the land to be the land promised to the Israelites. As we read in, Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and so on. And they would enjoy the Lord's blessing in the land that the Lord promised them and find peace there. And does that have any meaning for us today? The land. I know that young people are thinking, well, how can I afford a block of land? It costs so much. It's all right for you older people. I only had to pay a few $1,000s for a block of land. But we can look to the future when the Prince of Peace will establish his kingdom. And as we read in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. And so there's a land that we can look forward to. A land where God is ruling, Jesus is ruling. But who are the meek? Psalm 37:11 says, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Well, the meek are those who endure hardship with patience and without resentment, and those who trust in God. Fourthly, David says in his encouragement to the righteous who are living amongst these evil people and telling them don't fret, he says, be aware of the danger of fretting over evil men. Lives can be ruined by such concerns. In verse 8 he says, refrain from anger, turn from wrath, do not fret, it only leads to evil. The wise person must carefully watch his response to the wicked. It's all too easy to retaliate and destroy our witness, destroy our life. It's all too easy to be adversely affected by how the evil people seem to prosper in this world. Rather than destroying themselves with negative emotions, the godly people must develop a trust in the Lord. Anger and worry are two very destructive emotions. They reveal a lack of faith in God, that God loves us and is in control. Instead, we should trust in God. When you dwell on your problems, you may become anxious and angry. But if you concentrate on God, meditate on God and His goodness, you will find peace. So where is your attention focused, or on whom is your attention focused? Finally, I believe that these are the most important words that David is saying, and they are found in our reading. If we just obsess with the deeds of our enemies, then we're just bound with them and our lives are affected by them. And this can only be ousted or changed by a new focus of intention, of attention. Instead, David says we need to practice godly living. David pleads for his readers. And can you hear him pleading as you read this? And it's so just so alive. He says, trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Be still before the Lord and wait for the Lord to act. Such words deserve further attention. So firstly, Psalm 37:3. trust in the Lord and do good. And if we trust in the Lord, then we can do good. And God says you will dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. To believe that... What does trust mean? It means to believe that someone is good and honest and reliable. We can trust them. We can rely on another person and feel safe with them and have confidence in them. And we can submit to his or her will, and in this case to God's will, especially when things are difficult. So it's good to trust in the Lord. We know that we can trust in him, and we can, all of us here can say we trust in the Lord. We can depend on the Lord. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's not all the desires you want, it's the desires of your heart, the desires of your innermost being. To delight yourself in the Lord means to experience great pleasure and joy in God's presence. And this happens only when we know that person well and experience his loving kindness. How well do we know God? How well do we experience his loving kindness? How do we know him better? How do we delight ourselves in the Lord? Well, one thing we can do is to thank him for what he has done. And we can memorize scripture and commit scripture to our to heart and learn it and apply it to our lives. Psalm 1:2 says, the godly person's delight is in the law of the Lord. And let us know that God also delights in us. Not only should we delight in God, but the Bible says that God also delights in us. Psalm 37:23. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his step firm. The person in whom God delights is the one who follows God, trusts God, and tries to do his will. God watches over and makes firm every step that person takes. And Zephaniah 3:17, another favourite verse of mine. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So we can take great delight in the Lord, and the Lord can take great delight in us. Isn't that amazing? In Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord and trust in him. And he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. So don't worry. Keep on doing good. Keep on being righteous. One day your righteousness will shine and people will see. Not your righteousness, but God's righteousness through you, and see that you, what you are presenting is just. If we commit our way to the Lord, we will entrust everything to the Lord. We will entrust our lives, our families, our jobs, our possessions to God's control and guidance, believing that he can do better than we can. Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret when men succeed in their evil ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. So we acknowledge that God is sovereign. He has control of all things, and we can refrain from needless fear and worry, and we can continue to learn and obey God's commands, and we can expect the Lord to save. So we need to be still before him, reflecting on him, trusting him. Psalm 46:10, I think that was mentioned this morning, or it was on the screen, "Be still and know that I am God." Have you had those moments in your life where things are going bad? Things are happening to you, or things are happening to people around you. And then, well, you don't know what to do, what's going on. And then you have that moment of stillness, and you hear God speaking to you, saying, "It's all right, just be still before me, wait for me." I remember in Papua New Guinea, one time, Helen was away. One of my top chemistry students came, was, I forgot the word. Yeah, he thought that he was working for the CIA, and he, his job was to report on all the students and staff and what was happening. There's a word for that. Pardon? Yeah. And that troubled me, because he was a really good student. And then around that time, the leader of the youth group of the nearby Baptist church, he went outside one night to investigate a noise, and he got shot in the face and lost his eyesight. And I thought, well, where is God? What is happening? And then it came over me, just be still. God says, I'm still in charge. And we enjoyed our time in Papua New Guinea. I mean, I could list all the bad things that were happening. But in all of those bad things, we knew that God was with us and God was watching over us. And it's only at times when we go through difficulties that we just sense that God is watching over us. And we don't need to fret because of evil things that are happening. We can trust God. So in conclusion, as we go through life today with its joys and challenges, don't fret. Rather, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, be still before the Lord, and wait for the Lord. And are we able to say with David, "I was young, but now I am getting old"? We're not old, we're just getting old. "Yet we have never seen the righteous forsaken." And it seems to me that the verses that we were read in Matthew 5:3-12 are very much in line with what David was saying. Because Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And what a great future we have ahead of us. So let us keep trusting God with our lives, with our future. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word that we can read so freely. Thank you for the peace that you bring into our lives, and even though there might be turmoil. This world is experiencing great conflict at the moment in many places. But Father, we can trust you, and we pray that your will may be done. In Jesus' name, amen.